Yesterday, we heard about one man's fight to donate his organs as he was dying from ALS. 44-year-old Dave Adox from New Jersey had decided it was time. He needed a machine to breathe and could only communicate by moving his eyes. He wanted to give others a chance at a longer life, but to do that, he would need to die in a hospital, which turned out to be very difficult. Karen Shikurji brings us the rest of the story.
Dave Adox has finally found a hospital willing to work with him. He and his family are on the palliative care floor at Mount Sinai in Manhattan. His brother Jim and other family members slept here last night, and they're now waiting to see what happens next.
There's been three or four times where it has all fallen apart, literally. And Danny, his husband, has just said, "Dave, do you want to continue?" And Dave says, "Yes. I'll stick it out for another couple days."
They're all frustrated and confused and can't figure out why, if there's such a need for vital organs, it has been so hard to make Dave's wish happen. After all, when Dave had a tube put in to help him breathe, his hospital told him he could have it disconnected any time. He even signed an advance directive in case he lost ability to communicate. And now, Dave wants to have the ventilator turned off. He is completely clear. Danny Michaeli, his husband, has been coordinating nonstop.
I must have spoken to at least 8 people from Live On New York. There's the nursing staff, doctors, the recipient, the known recipient. So there's a known recipient also that we're trying to get him a kidney.
Transplant surgeon Joshua Mesrich at the University of Wisconsin Hospital has had patients with ALS, like Dave, wanting to donate organs. He says hospitals need to create systems for these situations, even if they're rarely used. But for some doctors, that idea challenges a foundation of medicine, to do no harm.
I think it's fair to say that doing no harm doesn't always mean making people live as long as possible, keeping them alive no matter what. Sometimes it means letting them have the death that they want, and it means letting them give this gift if that's what they want.
Planning this out seems to be against the culture of how we manage most organ donation.
This is Arthur Kaplan, head of medical ethics at NYU. At the hospital, there's a before team and an after team. One group is focused on keeping you alive, and then, if death happens, another group talks to family about donation. The two teams are not supposed to mix.
The hospital, from their point of view, may say, publicity risk, legal risk, economic risk, we don't have to accept your request.
But Mount Sinai Hospital did. Danny and Dave are still on the palliative care floor, and after some last-minute bumps, physicians and nurses have agreed to the plan. They'll turn off his ventilator and, after Dave dies, recover his organs.
We sat, we listened to 80s music. I read Dave a poem.
Eventually, they make it down to an operating room.
And when they were really sure, and we were all really sure, that he was in a very deep state of sedation, They disconnected his breathing machine.
Dave's wishes were met. He was able to donate both kidneys and his liver.
It turned out that the person that we were trying to do a direct donation for was a match, and he has Dave's kidney right now.
Danny has since been in touch with hospitals about their experience, and he'll be speaking with physicians at Columbia University later this year. Karen Shikurji, Side Effects Public Media.